Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome aboard to another edition of Omega Man TV. It's an honor to be here tonight, Monday, April 12th, 2021, with our special guest, Professor Tom Mack. Now, Brother Tom is shortly going to launch into tonight's program, but please, for those that are tuning in and may have not heard the news, Brother Tom, a volcano has erupted on St. Vincent, where Major Tom lives. That's why he could not be here tonight. What's the status with Major Tom? A few days ago, he had no power and no
right. And he hasn't gotten it back, or I would have gotten a message. So we need to keep Major Tom Baird in prayer. This is probably going to be about as challenging a thing as he's been in since Vietnam or Korea. And he's 81 years old now, so, you know, it isn't like he's a young kid, young officer in his mid-20s, and able to handle it, and, you know, if you have to run to get out of the way. Now he's, you know, he still walks every day. He still walks a mile every day, which sometimes can be interesting in St. Vincent's Island, since he's about the only white person there.
Folks, if you didn't hear what we just said, a volcano, a literal volcano, has erupted on an island called St. Vincent's Island. And Brother Tom told me when I called him Saturday morning my time, he said he was running out of minutes on his phone. He said, go outside, it smells like sulfur. The volcano has erupted. There are cruise liners trying to evacuate many people. He said, it looks like a fog has rolled in. It's actually volcanic ash. And they tried to seal everything up, but he had a vent open, I think, in the bathroom or something. And the ash was making it in, and it had settled on his countertop. It was on his computer, his equipment. He said they've went through 250-gallon barrels of water already, but still had drinking water that they're going to have to boil. And he had plenty of food because they have propane. And then the water stopped. I think the power stopped. Folks, can you imagine? And on top of that, the governor over there has said, unless you take the COVID vaccine, you're not getting on the cruise ship to get out of here. That was a report I heard. I don't know if he's recanted on that. Can you imagine, Tom?
Well, we put it up on his website, too, that report. And he's a little disturbed about it, but in a neo-communist state like St. Vincent's and the Grenadines is, he really doesn't have a lot to say.
Now,
you know, here in the United States, you could go to court on it and would probably win.
The reason the cruise ships came in is because they're using those to evacuate people off this island. I said, how close are you to the volcano? He said, I'm about 30 miles, maybe 15 kilometers.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Well, it would be more like about 30 kilometers,
30
or
kilometers.
About 15 miles.
Okay.
And that's quite a ways away. That's one consolation. But as I learned from being around Mount St. Helens when it blew, you'll feel the effects for months. For example, one thing I had to do with my car, I had to take the air cleaner off, replace the filters once a month, and then I had to go sandblast the actual air cleaner to get the crud off.
Wow.
And now, he's going to have to do that with every vehicle for about the next 2 years.
Folks.
What?
Not to mention,
we may have a break.
Not to mention the pyroclastic flow.
Well, let's ask him. Let's ask him ourself.
Did he just contact you on Skype? I can't hear him on my side.
He called on Skype.
Okay. We won't be able to hear that side of the call unless I initiate it, but shall I try to patch him in on Skype?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what's going on here. Now, I've never tried this. This will be a test. Let's see if I can patch somebody in on Skype. What happens? Bear with me. We're going into uncharted territory, folks. Don't know what's going to happen. Here we go.
Well, I can hear the Skype call.
Major Tom.
Yes, good evening.
Boy,
we
were just explaining to the people that Major Tom has just went through a volcanic eruption. Brother, are you alive and kicking over there?
Very much so.
Give us an update. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, let me lay out the scenario of what we have here. We have a small island about 23 miles long and about 10 miles or 12 miles wide at the widest point. The volcano is on the north end. I live on the south end. The northern one-third of the island was the red zone, which is the destruction zone for the volcanic eruption. Started out on Friday night. We've been without water since Friday. In fact, we're waiting for a tanker truck of water to try to get some more water to replenish what we have. Anyway, starting Friday and then Saturday, the eruptions began. We watched the volcanic explosions shoot 18,000 feet into the air, up through a very hazy, partly cloudy sky. Now, that's a technical term in aviation, which means from 3% to 8% coverage of clouds. So you've got quite a lot of coverage of clouds, but we could still see the black column of fire and smoke and ash and a lot of debris going up. Now, we're far enough away, we're 15 miles away, that we did not get any of the large rocks or any of the small rocks. We just got the ash. They tried to evacuate 20,000 people from that northern one-third of the island. Had some mix-ups between the politically correct requirements of vaccination before you get evacuated.
Whoa.
Well, that created enough confusion because most of the island is Christian and they're well aware that the jab is not a vaccine. It's a genetic manipulation to kill you.
Yes.
And so they didn't want to take that. And if they were going to die, some of them chose to stay, so I'm sure they're dead.
Dear God, brother, because are you on the island or are you off?
No, we're on the island.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're doing fine. We woke up Sunday with the debris having reached the surface of the earth and crept across it. I don't know how it got to us, but nevertheless, we had a... We found ourselves in the midst of an ash cloud, and it persisted from Saturday night through Sunday and on in today. Initially, for about 24 hours, we could only see about 200 feet away.
Wow.
We have ash all over the place. We had about half inch of ash on our roof. We've since had about 7 rainstorms, which wet all that ash, which makes it go into concrete kind of thing. Still moist, we can get rid of it, and we got our roof shoveled. Young men that come and help us out shoveled off our roof and our gutter. so that we have that sand off of our roof. However, up at the two main towns, Georgetown on the east and, oh gosh, how do I say that? Chateau Bel Air on the west side of, you know, both one side and the other side of the mountain, are mostly destroyed now. We've had since Sunday or what was it, Saturday and Sunday. Well, Saturday was the main explosions in the evening. But since that time on this morning, today is Monday, got to remember where I am, we had the cauldron had two domes. At 4 o'clock this morning, both domes collapsed into the cauldron on top of the lava, blocking it and pushing it down. However, the foaming agents that's in the lava that causes the explosions hadn't built up yet. So when it did explode from that pressure, it simply just kind of burped out of the top of the mountain, but it also destroyed the top of the mountain and came down in a pyroclastic blast, you know, those superheated air and fire and debris and lava down all sides of the mountain into those two main towns and several other small communities as well. And at 1,500 degrees all the way down to the sea, there was nothing left alive. We don't know how many people may have perished, but it also destroyed mostly all of the structures that were there. I had seen some pictures yesterday of ash and debris that was being shoveled off of some of those houses that was 2 feet thick.
Wow.
We have most of the people that have evacuated. There are several directions. They're in two or three different neighboring islands, but the neighboring islands are also receiving a lot of debris. Barbados, St. Lucia, and another one. I can't remember the name at this point, but at any rate, then the rest of them came south into our green zone where we are safe, more or less. And one of the safety features is that we have an intervening old dormant volcano that has never erupted in the life of man that we know of. And it's way huger. Its cauldron is way larger than the one that we're dealing with in this actually active volcano, and it stands in the way between the active volcano and us. So it's got to come up over the ridge of that, down through it, and back up over the next ridge to get to us, which would be pretty hard to do. At any rate, so you're never completely safe, but as far as the Lord is concerned, we're safe anyway, because in Him, to be out of our body and in death is to be instantly with Him anyway. Now, those that are evacuated are in shelters. You've got to remember that we're in the tropics, the same as you are, Shannon. And the topmost tiers, at least the top two tiers, if not more, are these, open
brick. The Ring of Fire, right?
Yeah, they're open blocks. And so you've got all that openness for ventilation. However, what it does is it allows you to have all the ash as well. You can't stop it. And so got no mattresses, no cots, just the bare floor. And we've got families with little kids sleeping on the floor in the ash with sweaters.
God have mercy. Folks, if you're just joining us, we're live with Professor Tom Mack, and we did not expect to hear from Major Tom tonight because just within the last few days, his power was out, water was out. He is sitting on the island of St. Vincent, if you're just joining us, where they have just sustained a volcanic eruption. Now, this is stuff that you don't hear about every day. People know about Pompeii, you know, hundreds of years ago. This is just happening in 2021. Now, brother, as you mentioned this, I, like you, am on an island, and we have live volcanoes here. We have a super volcano. When I flew into Bali, it was so large, it was jutting up above the cloud top. And I said, what is that? Is that a mountain? And someone said, that's a volcano. And I'm like, God have mercy. What are you talking about? We have live volcanoes here, and I, too, am about the same distance as you. I live in Denpasar, but Mount Agung, which began to shoot off gases about 3 years ago, burned a lot of people, and there was about 10,000 people evacuated over even to my area. We're about 15 miles away. Now, that's scary. And these things are waking up around the world. The Word of God says in the last days there will be earthquakes in diverse places. Now, I'm cognizant of the fact that you can have earthquakes. Those will usually trigger volcanoes if you happen to live in a region. And you can have deadly tsunamis like hit Palau a few years ago and killed many. You can see the footage of that on YouTube. Now, when I called you, I got you. You had just a few minutes remaining on your phone, and you picked up, I think it was Saturday morning or so. I forget now. It was this weekend. But
yeah, Saturday morning, yes.
You told me that y'all had already went through 250-gallon barrels of water and had some other water. When you heard this was coming down, what did you immediately do? Did you go out and try to capture water in any Tupperware bowl you could, pot and pan?
Everything we had, we captured water, to include our shipping barrels that we capture rainwater in.
Now, on top of that, do you cook on propane?
Yes, we cook on propane.
So you probably have some propane tanks, right, that you can continue to cook with no power?
Yeah, we have about 2 weeks' worth of propane at this point in time. They're saying that the worst of this particular episode will be at least 2 weeks, and we have not yet encountered the worst explosions.
Oh, God.
These are only the beginning ones. And we don't know the past history of 1979. It went on for 6 months. We don't know what the future holds yet.
Brother, has the electric is clearly restored, right?
Well, it's on and off. We've had 3 outages so far today.
Okay. What about your water, though?
Water, we're having to pinch it, I would say, at this point in time, until somebody can come by with some potable water for us.
So the main water lines...
We have enough that we're not hurting at this point in time, but by day after tomorrow we will be if we don't find a resupply.
Now, are you on city water or are you on well water normally?
We're all on city water, the whole island.
And what has happened? The ash caused that thing to get jammed up or something and they turned it off? What happened?
Well, yes. The explosion caused the contamination of the streams that they're using to bring water to us. They can't use that. It's got to settle out. And, of course, all the hillsides are full of ash, a lot of it, you know, maybe 2-3 feet deep. And we need heavy torrential storms to wash that out. We got to wait for that to pass through the stream before we can get to good water again. So that's a process of maybe 4 or 5 days yet, or longer.
You're basically going to need as many 5-gallon sparklet bottles as you can get, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
I hear that. Now, is there anybody open for business? Any way to get any water into you?
The water agency or the water ministry is the folks that have the water, and they're able to get it from other clear streams, but they only have enough water for about 15% of the population at this point in time. So it's going to take a few days to get everybody serviced, and by the time you get one person serviced, you got to come back. You know, you got the problem there of of everybody having a problem. Now, we do have a small stream down 500 feet below us and a half mile away. That takes a lot of
effort
pumping
to get that up there. Water's heavy.
To get that up. So
1 gallon is 8 pounds, I think. Brother Tom, what about anybody with a warehouse that sells water? Are they completely shut up? Are the supplies gone now, or what?
I don't know. We don't have any contact with them. I do have potable water from that particular source, and I think I've got 10 gallons or more. No, it's more. How much is one container? It's more than a gallon, about a gallon and a half, but I've got 10 containers of it that I know of that I haven't used yet.
Okay.
That we have for the family. We can use that for drinking water.
So you're basically living Vietnam all over again, humping it in the jungle with scarce supplies. And I know you've been trained to do this, but now what's the option for getting off the island?
Oh, we haven't looked at that at this point in time. There's really not too many places that you can go. You just got to get on a boat and take whatever you get wherever they go.
Dear Lord.
And
what are you
thinking? There's not enough ships or boats right now to get the whole population. I can tell you that, because the main island here has 110,000 people.
Oh, boy.
We don't have enough ships for that.
That's a lot of people. Airports, of course, are those closed down because of the ash?
Absolutely. Yeah, they closed down on Thursday.
That stuff will get in the turbine. You can't fly. What is your plan right now? Are you going to try to shelter in place, or are you holding out till you can get off the island? What do you want to do?
No, we're sheltering. At this point in time, because of the Lord's direction, we're sheltering in place.
Okay.
You remember that my wife received a prophetic warning dream about this 10 days ago.
Okay.
That's the dream we were talking about.
Give us a
where
recap.
She saw all this.
What did she see?
She saw a hole in the sky and a black cloud that opened up into a portal into heaven. And she saw some things coming through the portal that crashed into the earth. And a large angel with a drawn sword standing above it. She was in a see-through bus that you could see through the top. She could see the angel standing above them, probably was 1 to 2,000 feet tall. And he just stayed there over her vehicle, and they were not able to move. They stayed in place. And because of that, we're staying in place.
Okay. Now, here's my next question. What can we do that are tuning in to help you? Do you need some money?
Well, I don't know how you would ever get money to us. That's the biggest problem, because I'm not about to give my routing number and account number over the air or anywhere else. It's public because of all the graft and corruption of the world.
No, I realize that. I didn't know if you had PayPal or anything like that where people could help. If you have a need, will you let us know?
Yes, if people want to and are acquainted with somebody on the East Coast of the United States that is in New York or Miami or some other Charleston, where they have ships that they're the small cargo ships that take barrels and they take boxes and they send them. You could have that person, make up a box or make up a barrel with rice, flour, sheets, pillows, pillowcases, blankets, Pampers, baby wipes, things that you're going to need for small families and so on, so that we, and then address it to, and here's the information, Arlene Matthews Baird, Victoria Village, Kingstown, St. Vincent, Now, if you want to put in there West Indies, you can do that, but that first part there is the main important part. And have as a subject of what you have, disaster relief for St. Vincent volcano.
Now, what's the capability of inbound shipments? How are supplies coming in? This would be something I would think that Operation Blessing would jump on, and CBN and some of these other groups. But how do they get supplies into you? Is it going to have to come in on boat, or could they come in with a C-130?
No, they cannot come in on aircraft. It's too dangerous for that at this point in time. And the things we're going to need, it'd be better to send it by sea. We're not in a time-sensitive thing except for water.
Okay,
point in time.
Let me ask you this. With the prospect that this is only the beginning, and you've got a small island there, is the Lord telling you to stay there long-term, or do you think it's time to cut and run?
No, he's telling us to stay in and remain here. It turns out, and I haven't shared this with too many, it's in one of my books. It's in, I think, Sharp Edge of the Sword, where I relay about what the Lord had revealed to me through a fellow Christian lady in 1970, I believe it was 1973, where the Lord had given her a vision of New York City being fully engulfed in flames, and on an island there was a public platform that was constructed with several individuals conducting a revival, and the leader of the revival was Jesus. Jesus looked in. I and my former wife that has passed away, and this lady were all in the crowd, some distance away from the platform. Jesus looked directly at me, pointed at me, and then said, "Come up here and answer your call." And it was from an island that was some distance away from New York. I never have ever been associated with the Caribbean or even knew anything about islands until 11 years ago. Well, no, it's 10 years ago. I'm sorry, 10 years ago when I met my wife. And we were married here on St. Vincent. And I didn't even realize that I didn't remember the prophetic vision until about 6 months later. So the Lord has called me to be here. And he also gave me a prophetic dream that from this point, there will be a bright and shining light of the light of God that will start as a spark from this location, St. Vincent and the Grenadines. It will encompass the entire Caribbean and eventually the entire world.
Friends, if you're just joining us, we're live with Professor Tom Mack, and Major Tom Baird is reporting live from St. Vincent, where they have sustained a volcanic eruption, and they say the worst is yet to come. And something like this could happen to any of us in a number of formats. This is a volcano in his place. You could have an earthquake take out California. You could have any number of disastrous events hit. And this is a good time to be listening to Brother Tom as he's telling you how they're surviving on the ground. Now, when you mentioned this, I went and checked out my water supply in my got a little room off the carport here. And I was low on water. I told my wife, Narita, I said, "Narita, the volcano has hit St. Vincent. It could hit Bali. It could hit any of us anywhere in the world. Get some water." So we went out and got some 5-gallon bottles. I have about 10 of them. That's only about 50 gallons. What Brother Tom was mentioning about these 50-gallon barrels, that's even better. And I recommend everybody be thinking now, because you could be the next city or location hit tuning in. You're going to need water. Brother Tom, if you didn't have propane, y'all wouldn't be eating, because natural gas lines could put, I mean electric goes out, rather. You're not cooking. Propane, you can cook without power, correct?
Correct. The other thing that I would recommend, and we didn't start our rationing very quickly. We assumed we would be having a restoration of water, but it doesn't look like it's forthcoming at this point in time. So we went through, we probably had 250, maybe 300 gallons of water, and we went through the first 150 way too fast.
Well, you can use 5 gallons flushing a toilet. It goes really quick.
Exactly. So you have to be, you have to prioritize and have sponge baths that don't take very much water.
That's your key right now, is you've got to have water. You can last 3 days without water, 30 days without food. I'm going to turn it over to to Professor Tom. Professor Tom, what's your thoughts here tonight?
Oh, I'm just, right now I'm thinking about, all three of us actually live not that far from volcanoes. If you remember from your school studies, the Rocky Mountains.
I don't see them here.
They're very,
Major Tom,
very old mountains.
You're just going to have audio, because when we brought you in, it's on Skype, but we've got a system for video next. But can you hear Tom speaking?
No, I cannot.
Oh, you can't hear Professor Tom speaking?
Not at this point.
No.
Speak for a second, Professor Tom.
Yes, I was just wondering how we could patch that in.
Major Tom, can you hear Professor Tom now when he was talking?
No, I have no carrier and I have no voice.
Okay, so you're not getting any audio at all from his side.
That is correct.
Okay, well, that's something that I need to look into. We've never tried this before. I've got Major... let me try an experiment. Professor Tom, I want you to keep your video going, but I'm going to bring you in on audio via Skype. How does that sound?
Sounds great to me.
So keep your stream going, and let me see if I can patch you in. Now, here's what you do for Zoom. Mute your audio, Professor Tom, from Zoom side.
Here.
Actually, I think I can do it for you. I did. Okay, so don't worry. I'm going to bring you in now, Professor Tom Mack. I'm calling him now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to patch him in with go ahead, Major Tom.
Well, one of the things that we're looking at as far as trying to... Yeah, I hear him now. I hear you. Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, you're loud and clear. In fact,
right.
I'm going to have to turn it down a little bit. One of the things that we're finding out as we've gone to the shelter to see if we can help people, because we've been taking food to them and we've been taking various supplies that we have here on hand, of our own supplies. And what we are well aware of is that if you give a donation to the Ministry of Emergency Measures or whatever it is, it doesn't get down to the people you want it to get to. If you give it to the shelter sponsor, it doesn't get down to the people that it needs to get to. It just, things seem to disappear. As you may have encountered that as well in a third world country. So, we're not connected with any nonprofit organization. We've thought of Samaritan's Purse. If anybody has contact with them, they would normally help out on this particular thing. What we're trying to do on an individual basis is going to trusted individuals that we know, and that's only two of them at this point in time, one in Miami and one in New York City. One's our son and the other one's a Christian lady who will be packing barrels and boxes out of our own pockets to bring down here. But that's a little, that's a small amount compared to 100,000 people that need to be taken care of. So, but just be aware, if you want to give to an organization, make sure that they go out and they interview individual families and give what they need personally, just like you would if a Mercy Ship came in with medical supplies. Those doctors only see individuals. They don't go out there and just say, here's all the medicine and you go distribute it. They don't do that, obviously. And you can't do that either with rice, flour, food, you know, other food, clothing, shoes, whatever is going to be needed. And you know, you got to realize now, we have multitudes, and I don't even have a grasp of the number, of individuals that are totally out of everything that they worked their entire life for, and their house, and it's destroyed. They have nothing. They're starting from scratch, and they got to build all over again, and they got to be able to live at the same time.
Wow. Brother, so what you're saying is there is a way to get supplies in, but it's going to have to come in by ship. Now, the only ships arriving so far are to evacuate people. Have you heard anything from the government about resupply?
We haven't heard much about resupply except internal efforts in country at this point in time. Now, they've obviously been able to contact the cruise ships, because the cruise ships have come in and they were the ones doing the evacuation from the northern one-third. But now we're going to have the ferries, we're going to have the supply ships and those kinds of things, cargo ships, come in. And those ports are on the south side anyway. They're protected ports at this point, and they're still open. They're
now
not closed.
St. Vincent, is it autonomous, sovereign nation, or is it part of Britain or the U.S.? What is it part of?
It's like Canada. It's part of the British Commonwealth. We have a queen over us as a sovereign, but the exercise, we are an independent nation.
Okay, now, if that's the case, then the U.K. should be getting off their buttocks and sending some royal ships over there for resupply. Or what's the point of being under a British sovereign?
There is, well, yeah.
I'm just saying, right?
I understand.
Where's the queen?
It's only the private sector that has actually stepped up to assist us at this point in time. We're aware of one shipping line that is going to reduce their charges by 40%, and they're shipping things as we speak right now from the island of England down to our location. I don't know when it'll get. I don't know what its schedule is or where it's going in, but it'll normally go into the main supply port that we have here near Kingstown.
Now, this is a crazy question, but you can actually get food into Venezuela this way when other means don't work. Is Amazon shipping into St. Vincent right now? Can we drop ship you some rice via Amazon? Are they delivering?
I've tried to get something shipped by Amazon, and they say we ship to Amazon, and then when I start to order it, it says cannot ship to this location.
Okay, I was just curious because Amazon, biggest shipping company in the world, I was wondering if that pipeline's open. Well, we definitely go and pray, but my first impulse would be to get the heck out of there. But if God's told you to stay, then He's got His hand on you. What say ye, Brother Tom, Mac? Brother Tom, you're muted. I can't hear anything.
Just a minute here.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Say something, and Brother Baird, tell me if you can hear Brother Mac.
Can you hear me, Tom? I don't think he can.
So he can't hear you, Tom Mac. We don't know if this works anyway, how to patch on the audio. We're just doing a test tonight. I've never done this one before.
When you initially set it up, I got some audio, but I don't hear it anymore.
Okay, tell you what. I'm going to try something here. Tom Mac? Oh, wait a minute. Tom Mac, mute your Zoom, but unmute yourself on Skype, because you're muted on Skype right now. That's why I can't hear you.
There you go. Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh,
I can hear
five
you.
5x5.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's.
So you're coming through on Skype.
My Skype.
You're getting feedback though on your side, Brother Mac.
Yes, but I'll live with it.
Okay, this may not be possible to do what I wanted to do, but we're finding out. We'll do some more testing. I thought I had a fix for it. I don't. My mind drew a blank. Well, Brother Mac. Do you have some questions for Brother Baird or some comments?
Well, I know one thing that you're going to have to do, Major Baird, is you're going to have to get as many holders for your vehicles as you can get.
As many what?
Because filters, like
filters?
Air cleaner filters.
Oh, yeah.
Because, because when I was in Oregon near St. Helens, we had to change the filters every month.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I had to take the air cleaner over and sandblast it.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it was very difficult. And
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyone running vehicles needs to make sure that they very regularly clean their air filters.
Oh, yeah.
And change the filters.
And because there's now about four filters to clean out.
Mm-hmm.
And if any one of them is plugged, you're going to end up with gas mileage in the toilet.
True.
And
it's too bad we can't have the oil bath filters that we used to have on the farm on the tractors, because those would not allow anything through. Idea.
You know, you're dealing with a volcano. When those things shoot their stack, that thing can go 10,000, 20,000 feet up. I'm not surprised you got hit with the fallout because of the explosion radius when those things go off. You're really kind of encountering what someone might expect from a nuclear blast in terms of the ash falling down, you know? It's just not radioactive. But, folks, this is going on. We're asking everybody out there to pray for Major Tom and his family out there and the people of the island. And my brother, will you keep us updated on any ways that we can help?
Yes. I'll attempt to do that as we can. If we get too much fallout eventually here, I will not be using my computer because I don't want the cooling fans to crash on me either.
Right. You'd have to get a little vacuum and vacuum the fans out there. Do you have any kind of HEPA filter or air filtration in your place?
No.
You need some HEPA filters. That'll clean up the air quality there. But you're literally just in survival mode right now. The key thing is you got to get some water.
Correct.
Now, I don't know how St. Vincent's is. Here in Indonesia, just about every street corner has somebody trying to make money with a little mini 7-Eleven, and they sell water and coffee and, you know, little things that people need. And they sell 5-gallon bottles of water, and they have these bodegas, these warehouses. People just will truck water out to you. I didn't know if you have anything like that or if it's more American style where you don't have that. You just have, you know, one or two companies or your major grocery stores that have that stuff. Here in the third world, people, everybody's is a water supplier is what I'm trying to get at. I didn't know if you could buy more of this stuff. But then again, when you're in a crisis like that, they may not even be selling it even if they have it. That may be all they got.
Because
if you can buy it, we can help you raise the money to buy water, but that's my question. If you had any additional services that you can get somebody to deliver it to you. I just don't know how St. Vincent's set up.
Yeah, they're not set up that way here.
Okay. So you pretty much have to store it yourself if you're going to have any supply at all if the main system goes down.
Correct.
Okay. Professor Tom, back over to you. Any thoughts tonight? You want to lead us in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we just lift up Major Tom and the entire island of St. Vincent's and all the other adjoining islands. We just pray right now that you will open things up so that these people can get resupply and get the help they need. because there's a lot of damage from what we're seeing. And people need help. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will unblock all the blocks, all the demons slowing this down, so that these people can get what they need. And we come against the principalities and powers over some fences who would try to use this for this advantage. And we rebuke them now, and we command them to have no effect on this. And this is one time where they're not going to be able to take advantage and wrest even more control. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all these things you're doing right now. And we ask that you will continue to keep your hand on St. Vincent's. And that maybe this is the stimulus that will bring the revival that Major Baird has seen. Amen.
Amen. May I continue?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we've been praying for revival, we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit of conviction upon all of us here. Help us, Lord, not to be so proud that we miss this opportunity to repent before you, O God. We ask for repentance on behalf of our leadership here, our own population, the total population of the United States, the leadership there, and those all around the world. Father, cause us to come upon fall on our knees and come before you and plead for your mercy and grace, for you to pour out your spirit of conviction and your spirit of revival around the world. We thank you, Lord, for your great power over us. Let not one soul perish for lack of being able to turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let me add to that prayer. I just plead the blood of Jesus over you, brother, and your family, over all the people there in St. Vincent. And I ask you, Father God, to loose your warrior angels to go before them and be their defense. Put a hedge of protection, wall fire from Zechariah 2 and 5 around Major Tom and his family and their neighbors. And we're asking, God, that you would make a way for the water to flow and bring in the provision that they need, God, quickly, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we bind that volcano. If it be possible, Lord, we ask that you would close it up at this time, that it not erupt, that they can have time to make all the provisions they need to weather this storm. Give them a respite in Jesus Christ's name. You know, Major Tom and Professor Tom, as I was considering this, let me ask you this question. If the power has went out and it's off and on and intermittent and there's no water, can I assume also that banks, gas stations, supermarkets, many of them are going to be closed?
Yes.
So even if you want to pick something up, that's a challenge. If the stores are closed, your banks have no power, you can't go to an ATM. Folks, this can happen to any one of us at any time. Any number of disasters. Could be an earthquake that knock out the power grid. Could be an attack from another country. And I was thinking, even if you get on the cruise ship, that gets you out of the danger there of the volcano, but where do people go? Where do you go? Unless you're independently wealthy or you had a second home somewhere, literally people are getting on a cruise ship and they don't know where they're going to end up. Is the government setting up any kind of camps?
Yeah, you end up in a government-sponsored shelter.
In a government-sponsored shelter, just like Hurricane Katrina, the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is sobering. And again, I've been warned that something bad's coming my way for a time, and you do what you can do, and having done all you got to stand, we can only do so much. The Lord is the only help any of us have got. When we get down to it, there's some things we can do, but that won't get you so far. You can put back water, but what happens when it runs out? Or your food runs out? If we don't have Jesus, we have nothing. My friend, I've never dealt with filtering volcanic ash before, but I can tell you that we bought just a gravity-fed ceramic filter. It's like a, back in the States, called the Big Berkey. Down here, it's low-tech. It's just plastic with a ceramic filter. Cost you about $30. So we just pour water in there, and then it'll filter out at the bottom. I don't know how those things hold up, though, against the ash. So
they would hold up. You'd have to clean.
Just keep cleaning it?
The filters a lot.
Do you have any kind of water filtration down there in your house?
No.
Okay, well, you need to get one. And that's my prayer here is there's a respite so we can get you some supplies down there. You're going to need a gravity-fed water filter. So even if you can get to creek water, you can drink it. You got propane, so praise the Lord, you can cook. And that's why we've been talking about propane here for a while, folks. If the electric goes out, how are you going to cook? You better have a little mini grill set up. Now, when I lived in Tijuana, Mexico, most people use those. You could buy them for like $35, $40 down at the grocery store, the hardware store, and then you get little tiny propane canisters. That's what we cook off down here. And you can go 6 weeks on one of those, I think, depends on how much you cook. So you're good for cooking food, but you got to get some water. If any services turn back on, do you have the financial resources to load up on some things? Or can we raise some cash for you? How are you doing financially?
I don't know at this point in time. I think we're pretty well set.
If you need anything, let me know. Do you have PayPal, Major Tom?
I did until it got hacked.
Okay. That's the quickest way I know to get cash to you. Again, we're going to make the offer. I don't know your financial situation. And you may be in good shape, but have exhausted it because of the situation there. If you need anything, we can get money to you. We'll do a fundraiser, even if it's a Western Union or other means. I don't know what's available. Folks, what
Western
do you do
Union
with a vault?
Is fine.
Western Union. Okay, so would you please let Major Tom, Professor Tom and I know what you need so we can communicate?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And the ability to get it to you. That's the primary concern. Now, what do you do, folks, when a volcano goes off in your neighborhood? That's the reality where Major Tom is. Major Tom, God bless you for coming on tonight, brother. We love you. Thank you for this update.
Yeah, and one thing. We have been, every time you've been able to send a report, Major Baird, we've been able to put it up on the Internet.
Okay.
And so all your reports are up there. So we can continue that when you have power. And you don't only need to send a couple paragraphs, and I'll get it up.
All right.
We're standing by to help you in any way. And in the meantime, I'm asking everybody out there to pray. And Major Tom will let us know what his needs are and how we can help. And we're going to communicate it to you out there. We love you, Major Tom.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
Professor Tom, I'm going to drop you off of Skype, and you can unmute your Zoom. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, we're back. We're back on Zoom. Now, I won't know until I look at the recording if any of the audio got over to Zoom. I've never tried that before. We got about 6 minutes left on the clock. Professor Tom, do you want to come back tonight at 9 p.m. Mountain?
Yes.
Okay. Because Brother Tom's going to bring a teaching with a PowerPoint, and we're going to have him back on tonight. We're very happy that we heard from Major Tom.
I was not expecting this, and I don't think you were either.
Absolutely not. Last report I got was there was no water, and then Major...
No power.
Then no power. Now, folks, I want to warn you again out there tuning in. What we've been warning about for some time. Do not take the power grid for granted, your public utilities for granted. This was a reminder to me I need to check on my supplies. I just picked up 10 5-gallon bottles of, you could say, sparklets water. It cost me about $30, so they're about $3 a piece. I don't know what they cost where you're at. I recommend everybody Load up on this stuff because you can store it for months. Just put it in a cool place. Put it in your garage. If you got an apartment, put it in your bedroom closet.
In a closet.
Roll it under your bed. You cannot survive without water for about 3 days. Load up on water, and if you have more space, you can get 50-gallon barrels. You can order them on uline.com, get the blue type. They'll hold water, and you can always filter it when it comes out of there with one of these gravity-fed Dulton filters. They make them. You don't have to buy the top of the line. Just anything you can pour water, even out of a stream into. That's what they're made for over here, brother. People have very poor water quality. And so, you know, we're not on city water. Everybody's on well water here. And they supplement it with filtered water, but we even filter that stuff. And then you want a propane stove. You can get a small two burner. You get one of these Coleman type, or, you know, you can get one a little bit better.
One of those old camp stoves.
There you go. Or even a backyard grill. But, you know, you get these 10-gallon, right, about 10-gallon white canisters of propane gas. You can get even larger ones. You can get them up at grocery stores. You'll see them, gas stores.
Home Depot, any other places.
That's how we're cooking. Major Tom, myself, and my family here on propane. I did that in Tijuana, Mexico. We had power go out. I could still cook. Now, we had a hot water heater that was also propane. That was nice. It means I could take a hot shower. But that aside, you've got to have water, and you're going to have a way to cook. So propane, and you're going to have to store your own water. You must do this now, because it could be the very thing to save your life if the grid goes down for a week or more. And figure each person needs about 4 gallons of water per day to survive. 1 gallon to drink, 1 gallon for cooking, and, you know, maybe 2 gallons for light sanitation. And I've been in situations in Costa Rica where they would turn the water off every morning about 8 a.m. and it wouldn't come back on until about 5 in the evening. And we were having to fill up everything we could just to have something to pour over our hands or wash our hands or be able to flush the toilet. You can actually take a bucket, lift up the top of your toilet, pour it in there, and flush your toilet. That takes a lot of water, though. But main thing is drinking and cooking and some light sanitation. If you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble. Now, the Lord warned me, we need to be prepared. We've done it, and I need to do more. But also, you need to have a bug-out bag. And in that bug-out bag, food for a few days, and you need water. You need water in your car at all times. Get a couple 24-packs. Stick it in your trunk, even if it perishes because of the heat. You can always rotate it. But I'd rather have old water than no water and be stuck on an interstate like I was one time for almost 3 hours. There had been a crash. Traffic came to a stop. I was only about 2 miles from a turnoff. Couldn't get there. And I was drinking my water 90 to nothing. No big. I only had one. I thought I could always refuel it next stop. Not when you're stuck and nobody's moving. I'm literally trying to ration about as much as I have in this bottle right now for a couple hours. And it was hot. I had to turn the car off or run out of gas. And I learned a hard lesson. Don't ever take off anywhere without water in your car, water in your bug-out bag, because you will die like a fish out of a goldfish bowl, parched without any water. We're out of time. Professor Tom's going to be back. My brother, God bless
you. We'll see you in 2 hours.
See you then.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom. Okay, folks, we're coming back on, starting a new program. Stand by.